Tuesday, June the 21st. Each day is different, and I am reluctant to let each one slip through my fingers. This morning at 9, Mr. Bowen came from the highway department. I was up early, a little past 7, and got some work done before I joined him and Dale and Melvin to walk the runway and ride and walk over the dance, discussing Operation Harvest for the wildflowers. The verdict was that he was surprised and delighted that we had as good a stand as we did on the runway, and he agreed we should just concentrate on those hard caliche surfaces that are bare now. We found the garden in my 80 acres in the northwest corner next to old Mr. Lindig's, and I had a fiercely proprietary feeling as though they belonged to me and not to God. We stopped at the rocks and walked over it. The yucca are still raising their stalks of white bells to the sky, but some of them are falling like large snowflakes. My goals are to use all the wildflower seeds we can harvest to fill in, first, the bare spaces on the runway, then to scatter among these rocks, because I think they will never tempt a rancher. They're too rugged for any machinery to shred or plant grama grass or oats. I think it can just be left to me and nature. And third, to sprinkle over the ashes where brush has been burned. Fourth, and that will be some other year probably, just toss out along the roadways in the Martin or the Dance or the Reagan. Last year, we collected 3 truckloads full. This year, I have my sights set on 6. Mr. Bowen stayed for lunch with me. Ham from the ranch and black-eyed peas fresh from the garden. Wonderful tomatoes from some neighbor. He told me that the highway department just had a contract for 71 miles in 3 East Texas counties for landscaping. Then in the afternoon, I made calls on the crisis about Lucy's wedding dress to that delightful Mr. Dave Dubinsky. He and I are both suffering through this. And to Bess, and to Liz about the speech for next Monday, the first draft I've read, tried to digest and change, and a rather fruitless call to Burge. I'm seeking Lucia's help on writing a script for volunteers to open the old Sam Johnson house for a month during the summer vacation season. And then it was time for the big event of the day. I was going to walk the river some more, beginning at the Scharnhorst. This time I took my camera. We actually got down to the river about 5:40. On our side, tall cliffs towered, broken sometimes by Texas persimmon or cactus or mountain laurel or cedar, sometimes with deep faults or crevices, but several times springs bubbled out from between the rocks and made their way down to the river. We walked along a heavy grass shelf between the cliffs and the river. Clarence first, with his snake gun, and this time, a flashlight, me and my camera, Jerry with his thermos bag of beer and ice. In a quite conversational voice, Jerry said, "Clarence, here's a snake. I don't have any idea what kind it is. Maybe you better come look." Clarence turned around and peered down into the thick grass. A few feet from Jerry was a rattlesnake, very quiet. He shot. He nearly shot his head off. The snake had been lying not more than 6 inches from the path the 3 of us had trod. Apparently his own desire was to be left alone. And mankind, we did not return his treatment in the same way. In our quick rationalization, Jerry said, "Well, maybe we saved somebody else by killing him." But after that, we felt a little less cozy about walking in the high grass. Suddenly, up above us, on the cliffs, there were a whole group of goats stepping precisely along. They're very intriguing animals. And then, one moment, it was the curious clown face of a goat looking out over the edge of the cliff, surveying our progress with interest. On the overhanging ledge above us, we saw a colony of cliff swallows' apartments, high-rise apartments, 3 dozen or so. No sign of the birds. Had they hatched and flown, or were these last year's dwellings? It was bad walking. The high grass persisted. Across the river was a mile or so of gravel beach and sandbar. We made our way across, following partly the line of faults, the up-tilted rocks, making a dry foot passage for about half the way. And then we waded in the delicious, cool water. It was open but heavy going along the sandbars. We shared it with the herds of cows. And several times in front of us, we saw the white tails of deer who had come down to the river to drink, bobbing off in the brush at our approach. When Clarence's pedometer said 2 miles, I sat down on the sand for my bottle of beer. At this point, we were approaching a high wall of cliffs on our side of the river, and on the other there was a tumbling wilderness of boulders, as though all the mad power of 12 floods had stacked them there. and in them had grown, miraculously, man-high brush, so that it was bad going. But we made our way across the river once more and tackled it. Suddenly we came upon a vitex tree. I can only call it a tree because it was huge, three times as big as any I've ever seen growing in someone's garden. I took a picture of the lavender blossoms, just like the one we have in the cemetery. Sunset was approaching. In the cliffs on the south side we could see the openings of caves. I remembered what Calvin Sotomayor had told me about some little boys finding such a cave and going in and finding water with good-sized catfish in it. They had crawled out to get some fishing equipment and return, but halfway in they got too scared. Someone must have told Snake story, so they hurried out and never ventured into the cave again. Across the river we could see a hunter's camp. This was the only sign of man we had come across in the whole afternoon, except, of course, man's stock. As I stepped up, following Clarence, onto a huge boulder, Jerry said, "There's a tarantula." I looked below me, and there on the ground at the foot of the boulder was a huge, hairy, hideous tarantula, about 4 inches across. But alas, not enough night light left to take a picture. Last Friday we had walked twice as far in the same amount of time, but finally we saw through the trees the yellow body of the truck. All of us, I think, with a bit of relief, though we'd only traveled 3¼ miles. We were in Mr. Aaron's ranch, and as we drove up past his house, he was there at the gate, opening it for us. I thanked him for letting us go through his property. He had that open Western hospitality, as though it were a perfectly normal thing to do, to let strangers walk down your river and ride through your pasture. There was a little silver ship of a moon, 3 nights old. As we slipped down the country road, past the sandy cemetery, neglected, forlorn little spot, and then on to the ranch, and dinner on a tray, while I made half a dozen calls, among them one to Mrs. Hill, a Blanco County neighbor, who had given me some Ladies' Home Journals of 1908. How perfect for the magazine rack in the little house where Lennon was born. Their contemporaries probably were there.